151. I know this chorus from years ago. I hope you do, because I don't want to be singing a solo on my own. It's a familiar tune. I'll ask Heather maybe just to play the chorus through for us, follow the words, and then when we come to sing it, you will sing it. Okay, Heather, if you could. Heather, and I'm not going to sing a solo. Okay, 294, just as we finish the choruses, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Books, if we can, please. 225, if you're not familiar with the hymn book, it's page 267. That was good singing on the choruses. Let's continue that theme as we turn to the hymns, commence the meeting proper, but let's really sing it as unto the Lord. All of the hymns that we're singing tonight ask a question. And it's a question that only each one of us can answer. 225 says, have you any room for Jesus, he who bore your load of sin? Think of these words. Think of the questions on the other hymns as we sing them this evening. And even as we sing them, may God speak to each of our hearts tonight. 225. Singing the four verses, we'll stand to sing, please.
Thank you.
singing, you may be seated. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. We commit our meeting to the Lord in a word of prayer, please. Our loving, gracious, and eternal Heavenly Father, we do come to Thee this evening. We come to Thee with thankful hearts. We acknowledge Thee, the One who is above all, who is seated tonight on the throne, and indeed the One who knows all and sees all things. And even as we come to Thee tonight, Thou dost see us as individuals, but the Bible tells us that man looketh on the outward appearance, but God seeth and knoweth the heart. And Lord, Thou dost know every individual gathered in the meeting tonight. We thank Thee for this gospel mission, these meetings night by night to bring forth and herald forth the good news of the gospel, that good news of salvation to sinful man. Lord, we thank Thee that back in eternity past, that eternal covenant between the Father and the Son, that the Lord Jesus Christ would leave the splendors of heaven, come to this sin-cursed scene of time. We thank Thee that He was obedient. He humbled Himself. He took upon Himself the form of a servant, and He was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And Lord, we pray that tonight that there will be those in the meeting will be brought to the cross, that they'll bow the knee, that they'll confess Jesus Christ as King and as Lord, and they might receive Him as He's freely offered to them in the gospel. Lord, we do pray for that sense of the Lord's presence to be with us again. We thank Thee for it in nights that have gone by, messages that have been preached, some of them solemn messages. And Lord, we do pray that again, that Thou would still our hearts in Thy presence. Take away every distraction we do ask of Thee. And we pray that for this hour, that Thou wilt shut us in with Thyself. May we not only hear the word, but may we heed the word tonight. And we pray that indeed the message that is brought will find a resting place. The good seed of the word of God will find good soil tonight, watered by the Spirit. May it bring forth fruit unto life everlasting. Bless those that take part. Bless Natasha, she brings messages in song. We commit our own minister to Thee. We pray that he will know the help of God, the Holy Spirit, this evening, that you'll anoint him afresh, that you'll take him up and use him. And Lord, the words that he speaks, Lord, that indeed they might have free course and be glorified even in the salvation of precious souls. So now as we look to Thee and turn to Thee, just come amongst us, still our hearts, and we pray that indeed even in the words of the hymns that we sing, may we consider the words that we are singing, the questions that are being asked, and Lord, may we face up to the issues of time and eternity, of death and judgment to come, of eternity of heaven or hell. Lord, we just pray now that you'll speak on by Thy Spirit. Lord, that indeed the voice of man will not be heard tonight, but the Spirit of God will speak to every waiting heart. We do ask these things in the Saviour's name and for His sake. Amen. 251, please, if we could turn to that in the hymn book. 277 is the page number. Why do you wait, dear brother? Another question. Oh, why do you tarry so long? Your Saviour is waiting to give you a place in his sanctified throne. We stand again to sing the four verses. Think of the words as we do sing it, and may God even use them to speak to your own heart tonight. Sister Mrs. Natasha Atchison, she's one of her own members here in her own congregation. I'm going to ask Natasha if you'll come at this point and sing our two messages in song, please. Thank you.
Calms my fears and gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain. It flows to the lowest valley. The blood
thank our sister Natasha for those messages in song. Thank God we're not preaching a dead Christ, but a risen Saviour. One who is coming back, gone to prepare a place for us in heaven. And even as the words of that hymn that you were singing, how beautiful heaven must be. Are you ready to go there? Are you prepared? Or are you ready to go to that awful place called hell forevermore? Could we extend to you a very warm welcome tonight? If you're visiting with us for the first time, we do give you a special welcome. If you're back with us, having been on other occasions, well, we do welcome you again to the gospel meeting this evening. We thank you for coming, for your attendance, and we trust that you will enjoy the meeting, enjoy the word of God that's preached, and the message of God that will be delivered even this evening. The gospel meeting continues tomorrow evening, 8 p.m. same location here in the church. We do invite you back, and we pray that you will come, maybe as a result of receiving an invitation, and that you will come and join with us again. Tomorrow evening, the singers will be the Brook Quartet. Three of them are from Ballymena, and one is from our own congregation in Ballygowan. So if you want to find out who that one is from Ballygowan, well, you come back tomorrow night and you'll find out. So we do welcome you, and we trust that you will come back again and hear the word of God being preached. As you leave tonight, just in the foyer there in the hall, you'll find a couple of little tables with gospel tracts and literature. They're free, absolutely free, and you're welcome to lift them, to take them, and we trust that you'll read them and find out what they do tell us about God's salvation, how we can know forgiveness of sin, that change of heart, that being that new creature in Christ Jesus. Do take them there as you leave. There's no offering lifted during the mission and during the meeting, but there is an offering plate as you leave, just to help if you feel that you wanted to help with the expenses of the mission. You're not obliged to do it. If you walk out, that's fine, but if you want to give, the baskets are there, and we trust that you will give as the Lord has prospered you. Those are all the announcements that we need to make at this particular time. We'll turn for our final hymn to 236. 236, page 271 in the hymn book. Out of Christ without a Saviour, oh, can it be, like a ship without a rudder on a wild and stormy sea. Think of the words again, the questions that are asked. Remember, it's only you can answer that question. 236, and we'll stand to sing the hymn together, please.
Oh, Let me re-echo those words of welcome to each and to everyone, to those from our neighbouring congregations. I want to thank you again for your support, even in attending the meetings night by night, and to those that are in, as our brother said, maybe for the first time or maybe returning, we really appreciate you coming. And we do pray that the Lord will speak to all of our hearts this evening. I want to thank James for leading. I want to thank as well Natasha for singing those two beautiful pieces. I have two verses I want to read with you this evening. You will find them in Matthew's Gospel and the chapter 13. Matthew's Gospel in the chapter 13. This is the verse 41 and 42 that we want to leave with you this evening. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, verse 41. The Word of God says, "The Son of Man shall send forth his angels. They shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them that which do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." This is the hardest message tonight that I will ever preach. It's not a happy message. I have to speak on the people in hell. And it's before us here. It says there shall be wailing and there shall be gnashing of teeth. Let's ask the Lord for grace, for help. Heavenly Father, we come to Thee, O God, tonight, and Lord, we need Thee so much. The preacher needs Thee. O God, give me grace, give me wisdom, give me help, what to say. The hearer needs Thee, O God. Lord, we bring this message, O God, because Thy word is true. And Father, we pray this night that Thou wilt speak to every heart. Lord, that not only ears will be open, but, O God, hearts will be open. O Father, we pray for the Spirit of God to move in our midst. We pray that the Spirit will convict the lost of their sin and convert them unto Jesus Christ. Hear and answer prayer, and glorify Thy Son even through the preaching of the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. There are many today who do not like to or want to speak about hell. There are many today who will claim that hell is not real. There are many today that will say hell is just a scare tactic of the Christian church. That they talk about hell just simply to scare people into believing in the Christian faith. That it's just there as a big boogeyman, as it were, just to convict and to scare people to turn away from their lives, to turn away from the desires of their heart, and to make them, as it were, to force them to become Christians. There are others who will say that hell's not something they ever want to talk about. They will say that hell is something that they'd rather not think about. That it's too scary of a subject, it's too dark of a subject, so therefore we'll just not talk about it, we'll just not turn to it. You know, my friend, hell is real. Just as there is a heaven, there is a hell. And so many today are so happy to talk about heaven. So many today will talk and say they want to go to heaven, but so many today will reject hell altogether. It was John Blanchard who says to believe in heaven but not in hell is to declare that there were times during Jesus' ministry whenever he was telling the truth and times when he was telling lies. Because in reality, when you go through the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you add all of the verses together, the Lord Jesus actually speaks more about hell than he does about heaven. And yes, so often, especially in death, we will turn to John 14 and we will speak those verses. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And we will speak about heaven, but in reality, Jesus speaks more about hell than he does about heaven. He spoke of the fact that there is a place called hell. He spoke of the fact that the picture of hell is a place where the worm dieth not, the fire is not quenched, and it is the place of outer darkness. He spoke of the pain of hell. In Luke 16, he speaks of how the rich man, when he was cast into hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. He speaks about the actual suffering, the pain that man experiences when they are cast into hell. But here in these verses, verse 42 in particular, Christ actually speaks of the people in hell. Oh yes, Revelation 20 in the verse 10, it tells us, as we looked at it last night, the devil is cast into hell. And the beast is cast into hell. The false prophet is cast into hell. And yes, it talks about those individuals and they are in hell. And always remember, hell is not the devil's home. Hell is not the place where the devil reigns and rules. Hell is the place where the devil is punished for all eternity. Matthew 25:41 says, the everlasting fire has been prepared not only for the devil, but also for his angels. And it's interesting because whenever it speaks of the fallen angels in hell, it only speaks of them in one occasion, and it uses one particular word in the Greek for the devil or for the fallen angels' place in hell. It's Tartaros. In other words, there's a special section in hell reserved for the fallen angels. And the devil and the fallen angels, the false prophet, the beast, will be punished for all eternity. But in hell there will also be people. Now I wonder tonight, if I was to ask you, take out a piece of paper, write down names of individuals from all of history, individuals that you believe should be in hell, individuals that have done such heinous crimes, individuals that truly deserve the lake of fire, I wonder who you would write down. Of course, we'll probably write down those historical figures that caused such hardship, such pain to other people. Those individuals that were rulers, dictators that ransacked towns, cities, countries. Men such as Hitler, Stalin. Maybe you'll think of murderers, those notorious ones through history that did barbaric acts and the most vilest, heinous crimes. But what about those law-abiding citizens? What about your neighbors? Good neighbors. What about those in society? What about the community workers, the charity workers? Those that we as society reward for many years of service, caring for others. Loyalty to a cause. What about the individuals who risk their lives to save another? What about the members of the armed forces? Those that go to the battlefield on our behalf. What about those firefighters that will run into buildings to save individuals risking their own lives? What about doctors? What about nurses? Those that give all of their years of service and all of their years of work and labor to care for others, to try to preserve life. What about those who suffer illness and disease all of their days? Those who from a young age, every day is pain. Every day is a struggle, every day is hardship, every day is suffering. You see, to many in society, the general opinion would be such individuals deserve heaven. Those that sacrifice, those that give of themselves to help others, those that suffer throughout life, all of those people deserve heaven, because surely they are rewarded for their good works. They are rewarded for their suffering, their hardships in life. Surely God will let them all into heaven because of what they've done. And yet Scripture is clear. God's word is different from public opinion. You see, God declares that every single one of us deserve hell. He says all have come short of the glory of God. All have sinned. Indeed, you read the opening words of Psalm 14, and the psalmist writing, he's speaking of God inspecting all of mankind. And God has moved throughout the earth. And remember, God doesn't simply look on the outward appearance. And God doesn't simply look upon what you say or what you do. God looks deeper. Man looks in the outward appearance. God told Samuel that he looks upon the heart. He looks right into the very depth of you. And when God did that inspection, God searched every heart, God's report was this in Psalm 14 and 3. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. And he reemphasized it, no, not one. In other words, he looked throughout all of the people, and not one did he find doing good. And you have that even for us in the time in Genesis when God went down to Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham had prayed unto God and he said, God, if there be 50 good people in these two great cities, if you find 50 great people, please spare the cities. And God and Abraham had that discussion and it came right down. God, if you find just 10 people in two great cities, God, please preserve them. And God promised, I will preserve the cities if I find 10. And yet Sodom and Gomorrah were damned and doomed because God didn't even find 10. God's made it very clear, the only people who will ever be saved from hell are those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We read that verse last night, Revelation 20:15. Whosoever was not found written in the Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire. There are no exceptions. There is no immunity for any group. It is not the case that whatever religion has the most followers, that they win, as it were, a place in heaven. And so if the Muslims are the greatest group, or the Catholics are the greatest group, or the Buddhists are the greatest group, well, they'll get into heaven because they had the most followers, they had the most adherers to their faith. God makes it very clear in black and white in Scripture, if the name is not in the Lamb's Book of Life, they cannot be saved. You know, the story is told of a Christian on one occasion traveling in the train. As they were traveling on the train, there was a person come into the same carriage as them, and they recognized it. The man sat down beside the Christian and he says, you know, you Christians make me sick. You're always preaching and going on about hell, and you're always saying because Adam sinned, everybody's going to hell. The Christian responded and said, no. He says, you will not be in hell because of Adam's sin. You will be in hell because of your own sin. You will be in hell because you refused and you rejected the remedy for Adam's sin. You will go to hell trampling over the cross of Jesus Christ. Matthew 13 and verse 42. It speaks of the people in hell. In reality, it breaks it into two groups. In hell, there are the wailers. And in hell, there are the gnashers. I want to look at these two groups with you. Firstly, the wailers. Who are the wailers in hell? Well, I believe there are many different groups, individuals within this particular group. I believe there are atheists that will be wailing in hell because they will close their eyes in death. And they will open their eyes and they will be in hell. And you can just imagine individuals who never believed in God. Individuals who went through their whole life saying there is no such thing as God. There is no such person as God. There is no creator. And they will wake up in hell. They will open their eyes and they will realize what is going on. I believed in science all of my life. I believed that there was no such thing as God. I believed in the brains that I was given. I believed that everything that I understood. I believed that surely God wasn't real. It's all to do with man himself. I always said there was nothing after death. I always believed in data. But I was a fool. Because only the fools have said in their heart there is no God. I believe not only are there atheists within that group, but there are the procrastinators. Those who always meant to get saved. Those who always went through life and they're brought up in the gospel and they were told that from a very young age they needed to be saved, they needed to turn from their sin, and they always said in their heart, not today. I'm going to get saved when I'm older. And so their childhood passed into adulthood, and they went through adulthood and they focused upon their careers, they focused upon their families, and they said, you know, I'm going to get saved, I want to get saved, but not today. I'm going to leave it till I'm older. And the middle years pass through, and retirement comes. Still, they didn't get saved. Always meant to get right with God, but they open their eyes in hell. And the wail goes up. Why did I leave it so long? I remember the preacher told us, now is the accepted time. I remember the preacher told us, now is the day of salvation. I remember the preacher emphasized, today. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. But I always said tomorrow. I always said next time. I always said not tonight. But I've run out of tomorrows. I'm in hell forever. Oh, why didn't I heed the gospel invitation? I was there. I was at the meetings. I heard the invitation to come to Christ. I heard it not just once. I heard it twice. I heard it three times. And yet I said, no, not tonight. And now I'm lost. And now I'm alone. And I think of one other group of individuals within the wheelers. My opinion, this is the saddest group of all. The churchgoers. I think of those who will open their eyes in hell. They will rub their eyes, the great shock that will be upon them. And the cry will go up from their hearts, why am I here? My preacher told me I would be okay. My preacher told me my attendance was so good. My minister told me I was there every Sunday and I paid into the church. I was okay. The church would look after me. Why am I in hell? Why am I here? I was baptized as a child. I was confirmed. I was given communion. Why am I here? My priest told me he had forgiven my sins. My priest promised me the absolution of my sins. My priest, before I died, he gave me the last rites. My priest said to me, I forgive your sin is forgiven. And yes, you might have to spend a little time in purgatory, but you've followed all of the sacraments, you've had the communion, you've done the confession, you've went through all of the different steps that we have within our church and our traditions, and you've kept them all. And he said to me, yes, a little time in purgatory until the prayers are said and the money is paid, but then you'll be freed. But why am I in hell? I believed in the church. I believed in Mary. Mary would speak for me. But now I'm in hell forever. You see, Acts 4 and 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. It's Christ and Christ alone. Not Mary. Not a priest. Not a rabbi. Not an imam. Not a Buddhist monk. There's not one can save except Jesus Christ. Why am I here? The church I went to never spoke of sin. The church I went to every week, it spoke about positive living. It spoke about doing well. It spoke about praying for a better life, praying for luxuries. It spoke about all of those emphasizing of making the most of my life, of caring for others, of doing good, of just enjoying it. But they never once spoke about preparing to meet God. They never once preached to me that I was a sinner. And now I am lost forever. And those cries, those wails go on and on forever. The wail and the lamentation is great. Tell me, do you see yourself in any of those groups? Maybe you don't believe in God. Maybe you've just lived your life believing in evolution. You couldn't explain it, but you believed it. Maybe you've heard the gospel and you've always said, I'll get saved, but not tonight. Just a little longer. Or maybe you're depending on the church. You're depending upon what you've done in the church, what your parents did in your childhood. My friend, it is horrendous, and yet it is a reality for so many. This is a cry that's going on in hell right now. The wailing of those who never believed to be there. But there is another group in hell. Verse 42 tells us of those gnashing of teeth. What stands out about those group is that there is not a lamentation. There is not a sorrow. But rather there is a hatred of God. Scripture actually mentions this group on a number of occasions. Psalm 81:15, it speaks and it says, the haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. John 7:7, Christ himself said, "The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil." Romans 1 and the verse 30, whenever Paul is listing various sins, he includes backbiters and haters of God. There are individuals in this world today, and they literally hate everything to do with God. They hate the gospel of Jesus Christ. They hate the fact that God is holy. They hate the fact that God will not accept them in their sin. They hate the fact that God would ever turn them into hell because of living in sin. And they hate the fact that the gospel is preached and Christ is presented as the only way of salvation. And so for all eternity they gnash and they grit their teeth. The cry goes up, "I hate you, God. I hate your person. I hate your gospel. I hate your offer of salvation. I hate your love, your mercy. I hate that you rebuked me for your sin." And that cry goes on forever. Forever. The haters of God keep on hating, keep on sinning. The wailers will keep on wailing, keep on sinning, believing that they shouldn't be there. You know, my friend, it is a place I hope and I pray you never see. I hope and pray tonight you're not trusting in a religion. I hope and pray tonight you're not putting it off for another time. So many today, they talk about the deathbed. "Just before I die, I'll get saved. I want my entire life for me. I want my entire life to live as I want, to do what I want, to go where I want, to say what I want. But on my deathbed, before I die, I'll get saved." Nowhere in Scripture are you promised a deathbed. Nowhere. Nowhere in Scripture are you promised to get to 70 or to 60 or even to 30. No man knoweth what a day brings forth. You do not have tomorrow. It's not yours. I've said this before, said again. Go around any graveyard and you will see so many different ages. Yes, you'll find graves of individuals that lived to 100. You'll find graves of those that lived to 90, to 80. You will find graves of those that didn't make it to 20. You'll find those that died in tragedies. Those that simply dropped dead. You think you're healthy, you're strong. One of the guys that I worked with in the drilling for over 9 years, a man that never drank, never smoked. One Sunday evening, up in the glens of Antrim, he went up his family farm to check the sheep. And he never came back. And they found his body. And they did an autopsy on that body to see the cause of death. And there was no problem with his heart, his brain, or his lungs. There was no issues with the liver or any organ. And so they put down upon his death certificate, SDS, sudden death syndrome. 38 years of age. You know what it was? God said, time's up. It's over. He thought he had another day. He had just left the company. He was starting out on his own. He had bought his own drill rig. He had phoned me when I was in Bible college to see what I worked for him one day a week. He had his plans for the future. But he never even saw the Monday. My friend, there is an appointed time. Do not put it off. This is the day of salvation. Unsaved tonight, listen to the words of Jesus Christ. Mark 1, verse 15, he says, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. Believe the gospel. You see, here's the truth of the gospel. Jesus Christ went to the cross. He didn't go for his own sin. He went for our sin. He took our sin in his own body upon the tree. He was there upon that cross for those hours. And in those hours, he suffered hell. Because in those hours, not only did he suffer pain and agony, but he suffered separation from God. That is exactly what hell is. It's not simply pain. It's not simply suffering. But rather, you're separated from God forever. And you can say with the words of the Lord Jesus that whenever Christ was upon the cross, he was separated. He cried, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was wounded for our transgressions. And he was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. And it's only with his stripes that we are healed. There is no salvation outside of Christ. The gospel is the only way to be saved. The blood of Jesus Christ is the only way to have your sins washed. You reject Christ. You reject the gospel. You're lost. That cry will go up from your lips. You die in your sin. The cry will go up from your lips in hell. Why did I not believe? Why did I put it off? Jesus stands ready and willing to save you tonight. He says, come. Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. He stands ready and willing to save you tonight. Why would you ever put it off till tomorrow? Why would you ever put it off for another day? Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. There are people in hell. And sadly, there will be many more going to hell. My friend, I plead with you, don't be one of them. Come to Christ tonight. Come and be washed. Come and be saved. Come and be assured of heaven. Let's have a word of prayer as we close. There is no joy and hell. There is no joy in preaching about people in hell. But my friend, there is joy in the presence of God. Will you come tonight? Will you be saved from your sin? You've maybe many years behind you. You've more behind you than you have in front of you. What's holding you back? What is it that's such a grip in you that you won't come to Christ? I plead with you, come tonight. Not tomorrow night. Come tonight. If I can be of any help at all, please speak with us. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, O God, this night that salvation is of the Lord. We thank Thee, O God, this night that though hell is a real place, O God, yet we thank Thee salvation is available. The day of grace is still here, and souls can be saved. O Father, we pray this night for another name to be added to the Lamb's Book of Life. And Father, that Thou wilt save the lost, even here gathered. O Spirit of God, strive, we pray Thee. Bring them unto Thyself. O Father, we pray for Thy presence to continue even with us. And Lord, that Thou wilt undertake, even in these moments, continue to work in hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.